Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Well, hello, Ian. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Can't complain. Just another day.
Yeah, I feel
How you
that.
been?
Oh, I've been good. Kind of just got myself wrapped up in this Dune mania.
Oh yeah, you know what? Yeah, come to think of it. Yeah, the new Dune movie's coming out this weekend.
Are you planning on seeing it?
I am seeing it tomorrow night, which is gonna be Friday night, March 1st.
I will be seeing it Sunday night, which is March 3rd.
Oh, okay, cool. Hey, that's neat. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And Dune, you know me. Dune is like my favorite story of all time. It's my favorite book. It's my favorite sci-fi. It's way better than Star Wars. It's
I
awesome.
are we doing this again?
Yeah.
Just so
What?
you know, since I was able to finish this movie, my assignment quicker, I did some extracurricular activity and went back and watched Dune 84
Ooh.
for shits and giggles.
We covered that movie on the podcast way in the beginning of the podcast, back in 2021.
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah.
I remember enjoying that.
So we did that one. And since this new one's coming out, that one's definitely no good for the podcast, but I was thinking, well, there's the 2000 miniseries. And so I thought, I remember you telling me that you really enjoyed the David Lynch 1984 movie a lot, and you like the new one. Why not? Let's keep diving into it and talk about the train wreck of the 2000 miniseries.
You're not talking about the sci-fi channel
Oh,
Dune
right.
miniseries.
Oh, but I am. So that's what we're going to be covering today on Movies So Bad They're Good, Midnight Cult Classics They Can't. We watched this. Just real briefly, just sum it up in just a couple of words. What do you think?
Deserving of its two Emmys it won back in 2000.
It won two Emmys.
Yeah.
I did not know that. What did it win for?
I don't think you'll believe me if I tell you.
I probably won't.
So it was actually nominated for three Emmys, but it won two of them.
Okay. What did it not win?
outstanding score, I believe.
Oh, I believe that the score was not outstanding.
Actually, I mean, the score would be outstanding if, this were like 95 again and I was watching Mortal Kombat, because the score is kind of equivalent to that.
Okay, so what did it win?
Outstanding cinematography and outstanding special visual effects in a miniseries.
Okay, that's some bullshit.
I am not making that
Oh no, I think you are.
up. Hey man, Google's on my side.
You did tell me I won't believe you, and you're right, I don't.
Hey, I feel bad.
The cinematography, I don't, I can see that. The cinematography isn't bad. I like how like each scene there's like really like crazy colors in the background. That was pretty cool. I get
Yeah,
that.
I'm still very fond of all the blue eyes in this movie.
Oh, I'm not. Her like glowing in the dark. Like you turn off the lights and all you see are just like a bunch of blue eyes. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Well, real quick, let me tell you, Ryan, about my history with Dune. I grew up on the 1984 David Lynch movie. I watched that when I was like 6 years old, 7 years old. Like no shit.
Sci-Fi Channel?
No, the David Lynch.
No, did you watch it on the Sci-Fi Channel?
No. We own the tape.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I grew up on that. It's kind of I really enjoyed it. It was really weird, and I don't know if you know me, it would make sense because I'm very weird.
Well, I also know you are a lover of David Lynch.
I really love Mulholland Drive. Have you seen Mulholland Drive?
Actually, I have not. I've heard good things about it. I've seen Blue Velvet.
Yeah, that was cool. I really like Mulholland Drive. The rest are kind of take it or leave it. Some of them are really fucking crazy and weird. But anyway, so I grew up on that, like I said. And then when I was in middle school, I saw this movie, the 2000 miniseries on Sci-Fi Channel. And I was like, cool. And then I didn't get to read the book until finally, like, the Star Wars Last Jedi came out. And I was so disappointed by it. I was like, fuck this. Like, Star Wars kind of sucks now. And then I finally read Dune. And I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. And I no longer like Star Wars anymore. And then, like, that year, the year is 2018, director Denis Villeneuve announced that he was going to direct a Dune movie. And so I've been hyped for this for all these years. It's been at least five years now. You know, the one 2021 was really good. And then I get you on the hype train. I was like, we used to work together. So I was like, every day, like, shoving it down your throat. Dude, Dune, 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 Dune. And you were like, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like, Dune! then you and I went to see the 1984 David Lynch movie in the theater. Alamo Drafthouse, they played it shortly before the new one came out, which you told me that you really enjoyed. What's your entire history with Dune?
My approach to Dune was more, I've seen it on like the Sci-Fi Channel back when I was like elementary school. I seen it on the Sci-Fi Channel. I guess at the time it was kind of hard for me to really attach myself to it, especially being a lover of Star Wars. So I couldn't remember much of it, other than the fact I knew of the actor Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah,
who played in Twin Peaks, which was also a David Lynch project. But I didn't find myself revisiting it, and then I know the miniseries that came out. I saw that too, bits and pieces of it, because it was like 3 days long. I've seen the same thing as like all these you know, like the Stephen King movies. And then I saw like the miniseries. As I was big on like the sci-fi miniseries. Mm-hmm. You know, like Salem.
Have you watched it before now?
The miniseries?
Yeah.
I watched it in the span of the past like 3 days.
So that's a no. You haven't watched it again until recently.
Correct.
Okay. So is it like you remembered?
Not at all.
Okay. Let's get into it.
It's like, man, I'm watching this like, man, it's almost like I've seen this movie before. in two different spans.
Yeah. So like there's a lot of similarities and a lot of differences.
Which I spent most of my time comparing scenes from the 84 version.
Yeah.
And even the newer version, watching this. And I would say I'm just kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I loved about the 84 version is all like these cast of good actors that I grew up and enjoy in the 90s. Uh-huh. And watching the newer one with Tim Chalamet.
And just all the other good actors who are
all the other good actors and the costumes and the cinematography, and just it's a beautiful shot movie, and it's breathtaking. And then watching this, and it's like it seems very lazy with like the costumes and the actors.
Dude,
and
I don't know what was up with those costumes. Those were insane.
Those were like like they were all from Party City. You know, you go into like the section, you're like, oh snap, these costumes look like they're it looked like it would be like suit from the Dunes, and you're just like, okay, this is clearly Dune. But I don't know, everything about the movie was just very unappealing.
Mm-hmm. I like to say that it's like the opposite of the David Lynch movie, in which that the David Lynch one, it's got all the great actors, it's got the great costumes, and the scenery is amazing, and the soundtrack, and like everything about it is great, amazing, and weird, except for the story. It leaves a lot out, and it adds a bunch of shit, and it's like the story is ludicrous. You haven't read the book, but you are able to compare it to the new one, at least the first half of it, because we haven't seen the part two yet. Although by the time this episode comes out, we will have seen it. But as the time that we're recording this on Friday, February 29th, we don't really know what was going to happen in the second one, but we can compare the first half to the 1984 one, and you could really see where like it kind of goes off the rails a little bit as far as story goes, and that's the biggest problem it has. Now, the miniseries is the complete opposite. It has no good actors. Well, there's a couple decent actors, but the directing is terrible. The costumes are horrendous. Everything about it is just fucking terrible. It's long. It's so boring. Except it has one really good thing going for it, is it is extremely accurate to the book. It is the most accurate to the book than any other version out there. So that's why I like the miniseries. Since I've read the book, like it's very on par with the book. There's only a couple things missing. They didn't change anything. It's great. It's just not visually appealing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've even taken the time to kind of just educate myself with dozens of YouTube videos of comparisons and people, YouTubers explaining, you know, if you're going to go watch this movie, you kind of want to educate yourself watching these videos and,
and because whatnot. There's a lot. There's so much to this story that Denis Villeneuve has definitely not taken the time to explain. Actually, I'm just going to change the subject real quick and say that I don't know if you heard about this, but very recently there was an article that came out that quoted Denis Villeneuve, the director of the new one, that he says that he hates dialogue.
Oh,
and this Dune is a very dialogue heavy story. He's definitely enough for the visuals, and visually he is an amazing artist. Film is his palette that he paints with. He's an incredible visual filmmaker, but yeah, dialogue's pretty short. So I'm going to weave this back into what we were just talking about, is that if you haven't read the book, there's a lot of things that could probably be difficult to understand, and that's why.
And you know that's fair.
It is. You know, I know a lot of people would probably have a problem with that. I really appreciate visual filmmaking a lot. So like I understand it. At the same time though, like if you're gonna adapt Dune, you really do need a lot of dialogue and a lot of exposition. And so that's where the new one kind of falls flat. This is a very difficult story to turn into a movie, and so far every adaptation has failed in some way.
I did notice with the miniseries, I really had to hang on to all the dialogue, all the inner monologues, all of that, while trying to also compare it to the other Dunes. And just how plain everything was. I know, like with the 1984 one, I was quite fond of how slimy the Harkins were.
Yeah.
And seeing the actor from, was it Ace Ventura's When Nature Calls is playing Baron Harkin.
Wait.
Really? Ian McShane?
No, that's not Ian McShane.
It's not Ian McShane?
Wait, which dude are we talking about here?
We're talking about the miniseries.
That's not Ian McShane.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up right now, but Ian McShane from he's in Deadwood, right?
Am I just getting the name wrong?
Hold on. I'm looking for it. Ian McNeice.
McNeice. I was close.
Yeah, he's very much not Ian McShane.
Oh, Ian McShane is from Deadwood and I believe American Gods.
Yeah, there you go.
Fair. Okay, correction. The guy from Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls. I don't know. It's, I think there was even a point where I was watching this and my wife even kind of like stepped in and watched. She's like, oh, is it Dune? I was like, it is. She's like, why does it look like it's a Broadway play? I was like, hush, woman. She's like, this looks awful.
Well, you know, she's not wrong.
I mean, you have to understand, she has been spoiled. She's actually watched the new Dune at least 3 times at this point. I'm impressed. And she's vastly looking forward to part 2, which I will be taking her on the 3rd of March.
You're going to take her on my anniversary date with my wife.
Yeah, this is not about you, okay?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're kind of just all over the place with this. But let me ask you, Ian, besides the dialogue and the exposition and all that, what other things did you like about the miniseries?
Well, you know, I brought up the cinematography earlier when you brought it up. I do enjoy the colors. I really enjoy a movie with a lot of really intense color palette where, like, for no reason, the characters are in a room and there's just these huge, like, insanely bright UV, like, colored, like, red lights or, like, blue lights for, like, and it's, like, shining on their face. And it makes no sense, but I like that. So I do like the cinematography. This is, however, not the best cinematography. But it's over the top, and I appreciate that.
I mean, I think the Emmys would think you're wrong on that one.
That's fine.
it's fine, I guess.
No. What else I like about it? So mostly it's truest to the book. It's, you know, it's the most accurate. So there's that. I do like the dialogue. I thought that the script was pretty good. I don't like the directing, but I do like the dialogue. I mean, it's very dull and boring and slow, but once you get past that, it's pretty easy to follow, I think. That's kind of it. I mean, those are really important things. So if it didn't have that going for it, it would lose me. The sequel that came out 2 years later, Children of Dune, is much, much worse.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping for some glimmer of hope.
No, it just gets worse.
I could say in the beginning of the miniseries, I do enjoy me some William Hurt.
That's what I was about to bring up. Here's the thing. I also enjoy William Hurt. He's a good actor. He's in a lot of good movies. He's great. He's not great in this. I think that this is one of his worst performances, and I kind of hated him.
So he downplayed this one for you.
I don't think it was him, really. I think it was the director, John Harrison. William Hurt was very dull in this. As Duke Leto, Atreides, like, he was the man, and he was just lame. He was just, like, standing there the entire movie and just delivering dialogue, you know? And he was just like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then somebody would come up and be like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then William Hurt was like, and then I'm like it was just like the only time William Hurt really acted did any acting whatsoever in this was when there was the attack on Paul, the failed assassination attempt. And then it just shows him go, "They tried to take the life of my son!" But again,
that's all I hear now, because I'm trying to replay like his scenes in my head, but all I hear is go boga boba go boba.
I mean, he phoned the shit out of this movie. He phoned it in so hard.
Even his death was pretty phoned in.
Yeah, it was bad, and I like William Hurt. What did you think about him?
Well, I'm also a fan of William Hurt. Unfortunately, I found he was probably the most interesting actor comparatively, because I didn't know anybody else in this movie. And
you knew, okay, sorry, go ahead.
Ian McNeice, yeah. But, you know, I saw more of William Hurt than I saw of William McNeice. And I had a hard time believing that Alec Newman was a 16-year-old kid. 16, 30-year-old kid.
He was definitely a full-grown 30-year-old man playing a 15-year-old.
Like
oh my god, he was so bad. Like he was like, "Why'd we come here, Father?"
I do appreciate his stylist making him try to look like he's 16, but
they did not do a bad job. It was better than Kyle MacLachlan in the 1984 one.
It also didn't help that at the same time I did watch a lot of Mad TV. So I kept comparing Paul Atreides to the character Steward.
Wait, that's not the same actor at all.
It's not, but just the way he looked in that movie.
Oh, okay.
With his makeup and his hair. And that's all I thought about watching this movie was, oh, that's Steward.
Okay, you know why? I think the reason why they picked that actor is because in the sequel, Children of Dune, he's like 50 years old.
And that's fair. I read that they went with that route because, if I'm not mistaken, in the book, which I've seen from many, many YouTube videos, is that Paul goes from, he starts by the beginning of the book, he's 16, and by the end of the book, he's about 18.
Yeah, that's the first book. Yeah, there's a 2-year gap.
Right.
I believe it's actually 15 and 17. And
yeah.
And then the next one, mm-hmm. Dune Messiah, which is also in the Children of Dune miniseries, it takes place like 15 years later. So he's a bit older.
So I see they get an older actor to play this role, to where by the time he gets to, I think the director wanted somebody older, so when he would progress, he would be an adult by the second half of this movie to appeal to more of an adult crowd.
Yeah, and he's in Children of Dune, so he's a lot older. In Dune Messiah, he's about like 25, 30. And then in Children of Dune, he's like 50 years old. So in those miniseries, he's a lot closer to his age, and it's more appropriate. Does that make sense?
Yes, I can stick with. I can follow that.
There's an actor that I like, the guy who played Gurney Halleck, played by P.H. Moriarty. You didn't recognize him?
Um, No, I spent most of the time like replacing him with Patrick Stewart.
I know you've seen this guy in a movie before.
I wouldn't doubt it. Right now, it should be an easy pick, but right now I just can't put my finger on where I've seen him.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Son of a bitch.
He's Hatchet Harry.
He sure is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's two different settings there.
Yeah, he's a very different character. You know who I did not like was Lady Jessica. I didn't like that actress.
I thought she was pretty plain.
Yeah, she was like offensively plain. Yeah, she was terrible. She also really phoned in her lines. She was just like, better go, better go.
Oh man, I really feel like it was a missed opportunity of how I should have seen this movie.
How's that?
Like, just now all the dialogue I hear now in my head is go, 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 go. But like, if Frank Herbert had its own language in the Dune book, I would like to think that's the language of the Atreides people.
Yeah, but Alec Newman, he actually acted, and so did P.H. Hardy, or Moriarty. Both of them, they did pretty good. Like when Paul was, or Muad'Dib was like giving the speech to all the Fremen, and he was like, they're all like telling him to call out Stilgar, and he's like, I'm not gonna kill, you know, like my best guy. Like, would you cut off your arm and leave it bloody on the floor? You say I'm the body, I say I'm your duke. I thought he was pretty good there. So I
did enjoy the scene where Gurney, you know, puts the dagger to Lady Jessica's throat.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's a good actor. So he did good. What did you think of the Baron?
Now since you're telling me that this is more accurate to the book, I could appreciate all the, because there was a lot more dialogue and less sliminess to
the Baron movie. In the book is very slimy, so they definitely did tone that down. He's like a pedophile in the book.
Yeah, I still think about that scene I saw in Alamo Drafthouse that is not in the book and it's not in this movie. But I don't know. I was so taken back by that scene. Was just like, wow, this lets me know how awful and slimy the Baron is.
Yeah.
And honestly, it took me a while to realize when they cut over, because in this one, it's like they were cutting over to characters doing dialogues, and each, in the beginning of each scene, I kind of had to think like, okay, who were these people in 84 and also in the new Dune? Because I'm trying to compare scenes in my head. And it took me a hot minute to realize, oh, this is the House of Harkin.
You couldn't tell that that was the Baron?
Not at first.
He was so busy just like rhyming. he kept like speaking in a rhyme just out of nowhere. Not like most of his dialogue was just regular, and then all of a sudden he would just like do a quick poem out of nowhere. He just like just busted that improv or whatever, you know,
busting that rhyme.
Yeah, he was like He acted circles around everybody, but like he kind of overdid it a bit. Instead of butaga butaga, but he was like butaga butaga
butaga. You know, I can get behind that, and as I picture and hearing the Dune language.
But yeah, he was like, ba-da-ga-ba-da-ba-ga-da-da. By the time the Atreides been revealed, the fate of Atreides has already been sealed.
I think there was even a point when his nephews came into the room, and I was like, "Oh, that's Sting's character."
Yeah, the fucking like discount Brad Pitt.
And I was like, man, I know I've seen that guy like on a sci-fi channel TV series or something.
Yeah, you've seen him as Brad Pitt.
like this whole movie is like ordering Dune off a wish list.
it really is wish Dune.
And I said that out loud. I was like, oh, that's Sting's character.
Spade Rotha, yeah.
And the wife's just like, did you say Sting? I was like, yeah. as in like the police Sting? And I'm like, yeah, he's in the 84 Dune. And she's like, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me?
So, okay, so she saw the first new.
Yes.
Fade Roth is not in part one, so is she like, who the fuck is that guy?
Well, yeah. There were some things I had to sit there and explain to her.
Okay.
Because she remembers, she doesn't remember characters' names, she remembers like actors' names. So the whole time I had to explain things. Instead of trying to go with character names, I went with the actor names.
Okay, so
like Batista.
Yeah, that's right. Like Batista. Yeah, dude, I hated that guy, the Beast Raban, the actor they got for him. Like, okay, so there's the three movies. There's the new movie, the David Lynch movie, the miniseries. He's not only the worst out of those. Like, there's David. And then under those guys is every other actor in every other Dune movie. And under them is everybody who, like, tried out for the role. Under them is, like, terrible movie ever made. And under them was this guy. He was, I hated him so much.
Yeah, he reminded me of a really young Jack Black. With like red hair.
He reminds me of Bear Pig.
Of what?
From South Park. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, you were cutting in and out, but
oh, he reminded me of Man Bear Pig.
Ah, oh wow!
It was like the first time I seen him, he was like, and like he was just like just complaining and just
and again, yeah. Yeah, he's got to have his own thing. Huh? Yeah, I was kind of comparing him a lot to Dave Bautista's performance, and I found it pretty underwhelming.
Bautista was pretty underwhelming in the new one because he wasn't really in it. Like, he was in, like, two scenes in the entire movie. And he was, like...
Yeah, all I thought about was Drax. From, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that guy was so horrible.
One of the things I liked about Batista's rendition was just how he looked and how intimidating he looked.
Uh-huh.
Which was fitting for having the name the Beast.
Yes.
So I think in that aspect, Batista owned it. I think another character that was pretty lackluster was Duncan Idaho.
He was really bad in the David Lynch movie too. He in the book, but not as much as in the new version with Jason Momoa. Like they really added a lot to the Jason Momoa character.
They really own the fact that it was Jason Momoa. My wife loved Jason Momoa. I thought there was a lot more to Jason Momoa, Duncan Idaho, especially the relationship between Duncan and Paul Atreides. I felt they had a lot of on-screen chemistry. Comparatively to the Duncan Idaho and Paul Atreides in this movie. Okay, I'm sorry. Miniseries.
Yeah, he was just there. Like, yeah, there was no chemistry. There was no anything that, like, let you think that, like, they were really good friends.
I mean, I'm sure I'm not even mistaken, but doesn't Duncan Idaho's death just happens with an explosion
and he's done for? Well, yeah, it was like barely anything in the miniseries, and in the 1984 version, there was he's like dead, like nothing happened.
Well, yeah, he has his shield up, and he's ultimately shot in the head. Where in the new version. Because I know we're kind of just like jumping back and forth, but I'm sure there's a reason why we're doing this.
We're comparing this one to the others,
and I think Jason Momoa had more of a fitting going out kind of phase than everybody else did.
Yeah, he really did a lot to sell to people who were not aware of what Dune was. He put the S's. Jason Momoa did.
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah. No. I'm here. I'm listening.
Let's go down everything. Let's compare everything. All of them. So when it comes to the story and dialogue, I think it's the best out of all the versions. But it falls flat everywhere else. So Duke Leto, we really phoned it in. Who's your favorite Duke Leto and three things that you've seen?
Oh, well, I am very fond of the 84 Duke Leto. That German actor, I've seen him in many things, and he acts the shit out of everything. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, just because somebody the other day told me I look like a cross between Henry Cavill and Oscar Isaacs, I'm going to have to go with Oscar Isaac.
He was really good. I think he too. Yeah, the other guy was really good. I really liked the scene in the orange chapter where the spice mine thing that gets attacked with, and in 1984 he's like, he has to shit out of it. He's like, run, damn the spice. But overall, Oscar Isaac, better.
He's definitely more believable as because we're supposed to know that the House of Atreides, like in the movies, which I'm sure it's kind of like that in the book, where, you know, they're more dedicated to, you know, their people, and what's the term here? You always say House of Atreides answers every call.
There's no call we don't answer.
Yeah, there's no call we don't answer. I think when he says it in the movie, it's like, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like his actions,
how
he was in the movie, it was believable. Whether if he was, you know, saving all the workers from, you know, the spice storm, or the little talks he's having with his son, I find it, you know, believable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. What about the Bene Gesserits and the ganja bar?
I definitely love the costumes, and you know, they seem more like witches. Like they come off pretty, like they look pretty wicked in the new Dunes. Mm-hmm. I just thought their costumes looked really silly in the miniseries.
Yeah, they really were. Oh, they were so bad.
Yeah, I could say a lot of the costumes in the miniseries just look pretty silly.
Like, well, Fade Rotha, he had that big triangle behind his head.
What about it?
Just, do you remember it? How awful was it?
It was pretty awful.
And then they had cone hats for like some reason.
Yeah, because don't they have that in the book?
I don't think so. What do you like about the miniseries?
Well, besides the fact that this movie was not like crammed, a whole book crammed in 3 hours, and the fact there's more explanation to everything, and I do like Paul's relationship with the Fremen. I like seeing that metamorphosis from being this spoiled, outspoken, bratty of a kid to how he becomes the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a really good transition.
It was. Also, and then he went on that like really psychedelic, like 3 week long DMT trip.
From the Water of Life?
Yeah. Do you remember
that? I felt that was glazed over in the 84 version.
Oh yeah. Well, not really. Like they did it. They worked on it, but just not very well. I'm really excited what happens in this new. That's gonna be crazy. Especially how visual the Noob is.
Yeah. Despite the fact that the miniseries was kind of slow, I think it was fine how when they were ending the chapters and giving a little exposition of what was to come into like the next episode, I found it was better pacing.
Yes. Yeah, that's where the David Lynch one like felt flat. The pacing.
Yeah, unless that would have been like a 6-hour movie, you know, everything what? Seemed so crammed.
The a 3-hour long on YouTube, which you might want to check out.
What, the 84 version?
It's a 3-hour long fan edit.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, check that out. It's got a bunch of deleted scenes, and it's got mostly a bunch of deleted scenes, and some scenes are in a different order, and the pacing's better, and that's the best way to watch the 1984 movie.
Okay, I'll have to check that. I can get behind that. Check that out.
So my next question to you is, do you want to keep going on this train, this journey, and watch Children of Dune?
I, as someone who is, you know, getting into it and, of course, excited for Dune Part 2, I might as well. It's out there.
Yeah, it's not exactly easy to find. I own it on Blu-ray.
Isn't it on YouTube as well?
I don't think it's gonna right now.
Because when you sent it to me and I looked it up on YouTube, there was a YouTube channel that had because it said it had like 6 or 7 videos,
mm-hmm.
and the Dune miniseries was only 3 videos. So it rolls into Children of Dune.
What make episode we do Children of Dune?
I mean, we could do Children of Dune.
Okay. And then get into that. I do warn you, it's slower and more boring than this one.
Oof. I hope James McAvoy is doing a good job.
He plays
Duke Leto too.
Well, not Duke.
Leto too.
Yeah, which is, you know what's interesting is that he has a baby in the first one, or the second, who's murdered. And then 20 years later, he has another son, who he calls Leto the second. Like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, I was watching it, and I remember the baby, and I'm just like, oh, that must be, I was thinking that must be Leto too. And then it's just like, our son is dead. I'm like, okay, I guess it's not.
So I forgot all about that baby, and then named his new baby Leto the second.
I do like how the miniseries explored that relationship between him and Chaney more, where the 84 version is just like, all right, here he is with the framing. All right, here he is learning this. Here he is with that. All right, now it's time. Now it's time to go pay the Emperor a visit. And I'm like, wow, everything's happening really fast.
Yeah, they really kind of sped up that last act.
They sped that up, but this like really slowed it down.
Oh yeah.
Which I guess makes sense if you're going to break your miniseries in three parts.
What did you think of his sister?
Well, I didn't see his sister until the third part. And I felt like she was just right out the gate.
Do you understand, like, the Alia? Like, what her whole deal is?
I kind of understand that at a young age, she's already has her powers. And just by looking at the Baron Harkin, she already knew that she was his granddaughter.
Think of that.
Especially, I kind of forgot watching this that, you know,
well,
that Lady Jessica's the daughter. That did just
ever know that, because that's not in the David Lynch version.
It's no, I think you had told me that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Think you had already told me that. So when I went into the miniseries, it's like I knew that already.
Mm.
And of course, it really wasn't mentioned until she is taken. She's taken pretty easily. And that scene where she's taken, she mentions it. And I know Paul kind of just like figures it out on his own.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember it being glazed over.
So
with like the 84 version.
The deal is that Jessica, the Water of Life, pregnant with Aaliyah. So did that it woke up Aaliyah like into consciousness when she was a fetus, and of all of her ancestors, all of them, like going back like thousands of years, she clearly remembers every ancestor.
Yeah, I do remember like holding on to that.
Yeah, so the thing is that she's human. She doesn't have a personality because she is all of her ancestors, all rolled into one. And that's why the Bene Gesserit are so like terrified of her and like her embalming, because she doesn't have, she just like kind of, and she's everybody, like she has every memory that Jessica has, and like and since the Baron Harkonnen, she has every memory of, and she is, you know.
Yeah.
So, I'm not gonna spoil too much, but that comes to play in Children of Dune.
Well, let's hope that's going to come into play in this new one as well.
I'm really interested to see how they're gonna. And she's crazy. World who like speaks like an adult. Basically. In the David Lynch version, she was really creepy, scary, and in the miniseries.
Not so much.
Let's see what else. This doesn't really make a great episode for the podcast because fun of it much, and we're not really. We have to compare it to.
So you're kind of off and on breaking up.
My bad.
You're fine.
Let's see. So I think the director was terrible. It should have gotten.
I don't know. I think this movie had, you know, outstanding special visual effects.
Do you?
No.
So that was like the worst year for special
effects. It was. Yeah. Everything seemed very downplayed. I think going into this, that was like my biggest thing. Was how unappealing, you know, like the costumes and the cinematography, well, not so much cinematography, but the visual effects seemed very, I guess, you know, my mistake was trying to compare this to a Hollywood budget comparatively to a Sci-Fi Channel budget.
Yeah, it was very low budget. It's pretty good for a budget.
But I will say it was pretty easy for me to follow. Especially watching two other Dune movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. They made it definitely easier to follow the 1984 David Lynch version, and then Denis Villeneuve. He crammed too much information into a short period of time.
I could definitely recommend this movie or miniseries to anyone that. Like enjoys the Dune movies, but wants to explore more.
Yeah. So next week, you want to get back together and talk
Children of Dune? Yeah, I feel like I have to at this point.
Nice. Okay, so let's talk about the books.
All right.
Well, it was called Dune Messiah. And it's where Paul Muad'Dib he's the emperor. And there's this, like, it starts out, like, the book even begins. There's, like, this huge, massive jihad. And, like, and followers. Go throughout the universe, and like they go to every planet, every civilization. They're like, you accept Muad'Dib as like our Lord and Savior, basically. And they're like, no. Everybody who says no gets fucking killed.
Now, isn't that what we were getting in like these, weren't we getting flashes of that in the newer Dune?
Yeah, exactly. A little bit in the miniseries as well. Like in his visions and the miniseries, people go Muad'Dib, Muad'Dib. That's basically this. But yeah, it's like just a massive jihad, and I think it's something like 40 billion people are killed throughout the universe.
Yeah, because I do remember Lady Jessica mentioning to Paul about how crazy he's getting, and he could potentially things work.
So his followers. I mean, it's really like they say the crusade in the new movie, but in the book it's jihad. And
the holy war. Yeah,
literally is that they're going around every planet and just massacring everybody. And the name That's at the very beginning. The movie is about
I had Googled that. I had Googled that the miniseries was it was two books in one. So yes. I'm kind of skeptical about the pacing of it.
Episodes. Dune was. The first episode is it's like a third of the size of Dune. And so that let's do Messiah, which Denis Villeneuve is talking about directing that one next. Like that'll be like Dune Part 3. And then the second the last two the third book, which is the children of Paul. Chani gives birth to twins. And then there's three more books. There's Herb Dune, and then there's Chapter of House Dune, and then there's like another one I don't remember the name of.
So if I'm not mistaken, in the Children of Dune, Leto 2 is prophesied to be God.
Yeah. Not prophesied, he becomes God.
Right. But anyone who has not seen it, that's kind of what we're led to believe.
Prophesized exactly, I don't think. Accidentally becomes a god. And he's like so much more powerful than Paul ever was.
Yeah, because so, I see pictures of Leto 2, and it's unless it's James McAvoy, it's literally a worm with arms and a head.
Yeah, so that's not Children of Dune. That's the next book after that, which is God Emperor of Dune.
Right.
And he's he lives for millions of years.
Oh, groovy. I'm down for that.
Yeah. Alright, well, so that'll be next week. Before we wrap up this episode, I have to ask, if you could create your own or produce your own Dune, who would you cast and who would you have direct, or would you?
Well, honestly, if I was able to do it myself and I had the money, I think I would travel back in time and have Jodorowsky do it.
Yeah, we gotta talk about that.
I would have
watched the documentary.
I watched a little bit of the documentary.
Oh, okay.
I would have Jodorowsky do it, and of course, I would have his children play in the movie.
Yeah, they're they're literally. His son, who he was going to have play Paul, is literally like almost 60 years old.
Hey, he still looks like a child. 1660, Paul Atreides.
Yeah.
No, that's what I would have done. I would have tried to finish like the greatest move that never got made.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like they could today animated.
Yeah, because he's still alive.
Yeah, he's like 90 now.
Oh man, 90's like the new 80.
Right.
But I know one of his sons are dead. So.
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah. That. Yeah. The one that was in Santa Sangree.
When did he die?
I believe he died 2 years ago.
Oh shit. Wow.
I believe it, he died at the age of 50.
Crazy. We need so, you know, we did an episode where we talked about it. We need to cover El Mario, god damn it.
El Topo?
El Topo and Holy Mountain. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I would be into covering those because I love Santa Sangree so much. I'm willing to jump into the deep end of that pool.
My man. All right. Yeah, so we'll do that kind of soon. Before we wrap this up.
No, I think we kind of came into this knowing what we liked and what we didn't like. And yeah, I think that about sums it up. Because, you know, this is like a third rendition of Dune that I've watched, like within the past, what, 2-3 years now?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of caught up on it. I guess the exception of the books. I spent a lot of my time just comparing scenes with like the other movies, and
you're like you take the rules from the other ones and the story from this one and put them together,
and then we have the greatest movie never made. Yeah, I kind of don't know what else to say about this movie. You're okay over there? You breaking up? What's going on?
I'm breaking up again, really? I don't know.
Yeah, it's off and on.
Hmm. Well, maybe we'll have more to say about Children of Dune.
Hopefully, because since this is going to be a different series, hopefully I'll have more to say about it. Because I feel like there really isn't more to say about this mini-series that I haven't said in the 84 version or comparing it to the new version.
Uh-huh.
I will say it's longer. It did drag out more. But it's nice to get more exposition on things, to get more of an understanding on certain characters, even though that this one kind of just like glazed over. Like when the Harkins, when the Emperor's troops going for the attack.
Oh,
I felt like that was kind of glazed over.
You know, that's not really much in the book.
And that's okay. It's like, I guess most of the time, instead of trying to like compare it to the book, I've just compared it to the other movies.
Well, you can't compare it to the book. You didn't read it.
Exactly. Well, that's why I did.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, with the battle, this is the most accurate to the book because the battle's not in the book. It's like, it's over before it begins.
How lovely.
So yeah, that's the thing that I really love about the things that we want more of are definitely brought in. Like the battle is more brought in. Yeah. We see more of and the but yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Thanks for joining. I really appreciate that that you joined me for this. Enjoy that, like, you know, I just like jumped in because
I appreciate you having me for this. You know, I dedicated to take the time to watch it to kind of see, you know, what the others had and what these were missing. And as much as long as it was, and the pacing was so slow and the costumes were terrible, I could say that, you know, I enjoyed it to the extent that this is Dune.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, I'll see you next time for Children of Dune.
All right. That will be next week, correct?
Maybe, but we'll see.
We'll play it by ear. Okay.
But all right. Well, take it easy, man.
Take it easy.